Mary Wollstonecraft's name is synonymous with women and equality because of her world-famous feminist work, The Vindication of the Rights of Women, in which she argued in 1792, shock horror, that women were capable of reason, all they lacked was education. But in her short 38 years, she also managed to break the mould in many other ways. You might not know some of them, such as travelling throughout Europe as a single and married mother, writing a riveting book about the experience. And that book inspired my next guest, journalist Bea Rowlett, to strap on her baby and retrace the writer's steps. Good morning, Bea.
Good morning, Emma.
So before we come to Mary Wollstonecraft's unorthodox journeys, because they were for the time, certainly, what do we know about her early life?
We know quite a lot about her early life. Basically, that it was wretched and miserable. She had few advantages. She had a violent alcoholic father. They didn't see fit to educate her. She had to do that herself. So she was very much self-made.
And that self-made was very important to her, wasn't it? Her independence.
It was all about independence and education. That's the sort of keystone of her entire philosophy.
And she becomes a big player, doesn't she, on the radical left in London, especially when she starts writing these texts.
Well, she was an international celebrity because she tangled with the great thinkers of the day. She would just wade into battle. So, for example, when Edmund Burke attacked the French Revolution, she was the first one to get in her response. And it was published anonymously. It was A Vindication of the Rights of Man. And it was a huge hit. And it ran to a second print run. And they put her name on it, at which point everybody realised, oh, it's an uppity woman. And it was trounced. And suddenly everyone said it was a load of rubbish. But, you know, so she did attain a serious degree of notoriety.
And then she went to Paris, didn't she?
Yes.
So quite an interesting moment in history.
Well, yes. I mean, she didn't really speak French. It was the Reign of Terror. It had sort of merged into the Reign of Terror by this stage. She arrived in the same week that William Wordsworth left because it was getting too dangerous. And she went out there not knowing a soul and just wanted to be at the heart of the revolution.
An interesting moment, I imagine, especially when you fall in love with a man who doesn't treat you as maybe you hope to be treated.
Well, yes, this bit's a bit awful, really. She falls in love with this American, this sort of dashing American frontiersman called Gilbert Imlay. Her biographers really hate him. I feel like I should hate him too. I actually feel a bit sorry for him. Virginia Woolf had it best. She said, tickling minnows, he hooked a dolphin. He just didn't know what he was getting himself into, but he did treat her quite badly. They had a baby together and he basically abandoned her. And she survived a winter, one of the coldest winters on record in Paris, in revolutionary Paris, on her own with a baby, basically starving. You know, these things, they were very character building.
And she then goes on a journey, doesn't she? Because this man who yes. has essentially won her over and then left her, tells her to go and find... Is this a ship filled with silver or some description?
Well, this is the great treasure trail. This is the book here, the amazing book, which made me fall so much in love with her.
This is the book she writes on her journey.
She wrote this book on her journey, but she never said what she was really doing. And it was only in the sort of 1970s that people figured out that, you know, new documents came to light showing what was really happening here. So it looks ostensibly like an incredibly curious and entertaining travel book. It's called Snappily, A Short Residence in Sweden. It's been shortened, thanks to William Godwin, her future husband, to Travels in Norway. That's the usual title. It's a magnificent piece of travel writing. It was hugely influential on the Romantics. But the best part about it is the backstory. So she is in love with this guy. It turns out, was a bit of a dodgy geezer. He'd been smuggling aristocratic silver out of revolutionary Paris to neutral Sweden and Norway, but a shipment of silver goes missing. And at that point, you know, oh, the missus is on my case. She's, you know, she's really annoying me. And he sends her off. Oh, take the baby, you know, off you go. See if you can find my missing silver. And she does it. She thinks she can win him back. She thinks she can get his silver. And she just sets off there, baby under one arm. She did have a maid for part of the journey. And, you know, and hit the rocky shores of the Skagerrak at a time when, you know, most men wouldn't travel on their own.
And so she's there on these boats writing this book. And you get this book many, many years later and find yourself so inspired you want to retrace her steps.
I just thought, how did she do it? You know, it's hard enough now trying to have a career and write and have babies. We still haven't answered this question. And I just thought, well, if she did it in 1795, what's her secret?
So 3 years after she writes this book, which makes her famous.
Yeah, yeah.
So what was it like when you did it? What did you find?
It wasn't easy. I found Travelling in Her Footsteps was amazing because it was never intended to be a biography, more of a kind of biographical experiment.
And we should say this has led to your book, which is In Search of Mary, The Mother of All Journeys.
That's
lovely
right.
Title.
In Search of Mary, Alma Books, that's right. Out on Thursday. So it was an adventure. It was a love affair that became an adventure that became a book.
And in Scandinavia, when you were travelling across these countries, did people know who she was?
They did. They did. I mean, she's not, I mean, anywhere today, she's not as widely known as she should be. Indeed, she's not as widely known as she was then. Sadly, her reputation was devastated after her death.
Well, let's come to that in a moment. So people were responding well to you when you were on this Scandinavian leg.
Despite the fact that she's fantastically rude. She's really rude about everyone. I mean, the book's really funny. You would think that her short and tragic life and her reputation for shrillness and being the founder of feminism would not be a barrel of laughs. She's really funny. There's a lot of kind of, you know, sarcastic retort. And it's just a brilliant read.
But not everything was light, OK, was it? Because, you know, she's very, very, you think, actually depressed.
She's definitely depressed.
While she's writing
this. She has
periods
of serious depression. She attempted suicide twice.
So she attempts suicide after this journey. Is this before she returns to
before
London?
Before and after.
Before and after. Yeah. So those are those two attempts. And when she returns to London, life does get a bit better, doesn't it?
Eventually, yes. Yes. This is the sort of golden period. And it's the bit that you wish could have just lasted a bit longer, because she finally falls in love with a good guy, William Godwin, the anarchist philosopher. And, you know, they settle down and, they marry only because she's pregnant and they just can't bear to face the wrath of society against a single mum, which she's already faced. So they do it to protect the child. But unfortunately, that child causes her death. And that child will go on to write Frankenstein, Mary Shelley.
And as a result of that death, which is actually prolonged, it's not on the day of childbirth, it's sort of 10 days later, there's a book then written by her husband. And this is what prompts you to say she dies twice. Explain that.
Well, it's just kind of heartbreaking. It took me ages to write about her death because I just found it utterly... It's very distressing. She dies in childbirth at the age of 38. You know, she was at the peak of her writing.
I have to say, I had no idea she was just 38.
Exactly. Well, what could she have achieved in a full lifetime? You know, she was just hitting her stride. It's really heartbreaking. And it was an unnecessary death. And then it's a death that still exists today. Women are at risk when they give birth. And, you know, how can that still be the case 216 years later?
So
anyway,
she dies twice.
So she dies, and that's... very, very sad. Then he was heartbroken. And in his grief, William Godwin writes this biography, the first biography of Mary Wollstonecraft, and he describes some of her slightly unorthodox, her crushes, her, you know, having a baby out of wedlock, her experiments in life, as Virginia Woolf called them. And the backlash is just nuclear. It's horrendous. Her reputation is scorched. No one will stick up for her. No one will give her the time of day. All her friends and allies just kind of back off. She's toxic.
And once she becomes toxic, how long is she sort of banished from respectability for the great work that obviously made her name?
Well, I would argue that, you know, she still doesn't have her dues. There's no permanent memorial to her anywhere. You know, I'm part of a campaign called Mary on the Green. We're trying to get a statue of her.
So there's no statue?
There's no statue. There's no permanent memorial. I mean, given that she's her fame spread around the world and she influenced the then president of the United States, you would think there'd be more. So I'd argue that it's never recovered.
But she does get taken back, doesn't she, as kind of almost this foremother of the feminist movement. We would say, in the 19th century.
Yes, yes. So, and there have been some outstanding biographies written of her. But it's been very much the preserve of feminist history. And, you know, yes, that is her legacy. But I just think, you know, everybody should know about her. And that's why I wrote the book, you know, it's to render her more accessible.
Well, as we say, Bea Rowlett, thank you very much. Thank you for going on that journey and coming to tell us about it. Bea's book, In Search of Mary, The Mother of All Journeys, is out this Thursday.